Blog Talk Radio.
Way down among Brazilians, coffee beans grow by the billions, so they've got to find those extra cups to fill. They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. You can't get cherry soda, 'cause they've got to fill that quota. And the way things are, I'll bet they never will. They've got a zillion tons of coffee in Brazil. No tea or tomato juice, you'll see. No potato juice, 'cause the planters down in Santa's all say no, no, no. The politician's daughter was accused of drinking water and was fined the great big $50 bill. They've got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil. Like a percolator, her perfume was made right on the grill. Why, they could percolate the ocean in Brazil. And when their ham and eggs need savor, coffee ketchup gives them flavor. Coffee pickles way outsell the dill. Why, they put coffee in the coffee in Brazil. No tea, no tomato juice, you'll see. No potato juice. The planters down in Santa's all say no, no, no. So you'll add to the local color, serving coffee with a crawler. Dunkin' doesn't take a lot of skill. They've got an awful lot of coffee, an awful lot of coffee. Man, they got a gang of coffee in Brazil.
Hey, welcome everybody. Hi, this is Jory. I'm the Coffee Psychic, and I'm your host for tonight's show, Your Psychic Connection. We had a wonderful show last week with Dave Gunning, Master Astrologer, good friend of mine. He comes on every last Wednesday of the month. So tonight we're going to be talking about angels, weird experiences. You know, it could be anything psychic, any experiences you guys have had that seems to be a little out of the ordinary. I was talking with my cousin earlier today, and we got on the topic of angels. And I've had a couple of experiences with angels. You guys have probably heard about me saying that you can invite the archangels into your house and what an amazing experience that is. I'll tell you about that again. I also had two other experiences with angels. I had an experience where my daughter had bought a Christmas gift for me. It was an acrylic angel that lit up. And, you know, I mean, this was battery operated, and I thought, wow, this is really cute. It's very nice. So I turned it on for a little bit, then I turned it off. And, of course, it found a very special place on the shelf above my back door, which is probably about 10 feet up. And it wasn't anything I certainly could reach. I mean, I'm 5'3", so I had to get a ladder to put it up there with my other angels. And this was years ago, but one day I was doing a psychic reading, and suddenly this angel turned on by itself. And it had all of these beautiful colors. You know how you have these waterfalls and they have the little light fixtures inside? And it was an array of colors that just kept shining from this angel. But that's not the coolest thing about it. When this angel came on, my house the energy of my house changed. It lifted. It felt very angelic. It felt very spiritual. It was one of the weirdest experiences that I can describe to you, if I'm describing it clearly enough, I hope. I felt like my house was blessed. It was just amazing. Now, you have to know, this angel did not just go on and then go off. This angel stayed on for a good probably week and a half. During that entire week, I really felt the spiritual presence in my house. Everything was peaceful, beautiful. You know, nothing could shake my foundation, certainly not when this experience was going on in my house. And people felt it. Other people felt it too. And then it was probably, as I think back, probably 10 o'clock, 10:30 at night, because I still do readings that late at night. I try to work my schedule around people's schedules. And suddenly the light went off on this angel. And I'm telling you, it was like the house felt suddenly cold, like all this warmth just kind of like went away. It was a beautiful, beautiful experience. And the second experience that I had with angels, and these are with external angels, so it's not just the angels coming in and putting their hand on your shoulder or this, you know, I mean, to me, these are little miracles as it is. Just the fact that something like this could happen, it impacts the energy in your house. I had another experience with an angel. I've got a very beautiful curio cabinet, and my sister Sue gave me this beautiful angel this one day, and it sits on a little pedestal, and it hangs there. Now, my cabinet is full of other artifacts, my Egyptian artifacts, other angels, and one day I just heard this weird noise coming from my front room. This is when I lived in Tinley Park. And it was a vibrating noise. And I'm going to make the sound, but it sounds silly because it didn't sound like that. It was like that, only it was softer. But it was loud. I mean, it was loud, and it was loud enough for me to catch it. And I was going like, holy mackerel, what's that noise? When I went into my living room, there was this angel in my china cabinet shaking. It was vibrating. It was moving, but it was standing in place. And I'm sitting here with my eyes wide open, staring at this angel. Now, you have to know, nothing else in the china cabinet was moving, in the curio cabinet. I put my hand on the wall. There were no vibrations on the wall. I put my hands on the floor. There were no vibrations on the floor. There was no external reason as to why this angel should have been vibrating like that. So it was just fascinating. How did that happen? I don't know. What was the meaning? I don't know. I did get a videotape of this, and it was such a beautiful spiritual experience. Some of these things leave us in awe. I'm going to go to the phone lines in a second here, and I want you guys to share with me if you've had any spiritual experiences like this. Have you had anything at all? You know, and if not, that's great. I would just say open your heart up to the angels. Again, there's also the process that you can go through of inviting the angels into your home. And when you invite the angels into your home, you're literally inviting the archangels into your home. And it's really a very fascinating experience. They'll come in for a week, and then, you know, you need like a week in between, and then it's almost like a little chain letter. And you put like three people's names out there that you want the angels to go to, and these angels will go to their houses as well. It's just a fascinating experience. So, all right, so we're gonna go to the phone lines right now. We're gonna see who's online. Hello, caller.
Hello, Jorianne.
Hey, it's Ross. Right. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. How about you?
Good, good. So, Ross, have you had any experiences with the angels before, like what I was describing?
I was trying to think about that here. The first thing that came to my mind here, for me at least, was, well, I don't really remember it very well, but the angels must have been with me, because when I was about 2.5, I got in for tonsillitis surgery.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I stopped breathing on the operating table.
Oh, God.
And my mom remembers sitting in the operating room where kids were going in after me and coming out before me, and then when I finally did come out, they told me I just didn't, you know, they couldn't get the timestamps out. They never did give her an explanation. And then so about a couple weeks later, she had taken me to the dentist, and the dentist knew that I had stopped breathing on the operating table and told her.
How did he know that?
I have no idea how the dentist knew, but it was a small, you know, small little town just outside here in Cleveland. But he must have known, the dentist must have known my surgeon, the surgeon or something, because he was, the dentist practice was basically around the corner from the hospital where I had the surgery at.
Oh, my goodness.
And so somehow, word got out, then, yeah, the word was that I had actually to stop breathing on the operating table for about half an hour, I guess. And I don't, you know, because I was so young, I don't remember it going on.
You don't remember seeing the light or anything like that?
Yeah, I don't remember anything at all from that. But I wouldn't be surprised if I did have, like, a near-death experience, but I just don't remember. So if I did go under, like, regressive hypnosis, then I probably would remember it.
Right,
but
right.
But granted, this was 40-some-odd years ago already. Yeah, because this
right?
was back in the late 60s. I'm sure I probably could pull out more details. But I've never had a hypnotic session for that, though.
If there's ever a chance. Now, I do hypnosis also for people. But I normally just advertise my psychic readings and the healings and stuff because that's what I do. I do the readings, 24/7. But and you know what? And you know, Russ, you've already called me for a reading. I'm just going to throw my number out there for people that want a more in-depth personal reading. You can reach me at area code 219-940-9292. Again, that number is 219-940-9292, and you can also check me out on coffeepsychic.com. And, of course, check out on my website because I've got my new May specials going up there, my Mother's Day specials. So check those out. Okay, Russ, so go ahead.
I was going to share a quick one that my mom had, too. Her and my sister were coming back from some sort of like a little grocery shopping trip, and they're coming down a local hill by my mom's
mm-hmm.
house. And it was a four-lane road, and a truck came down, lost its brakes. She was in the right lane with my sister in an old station wagon, and there's another car next to him. Truck split the difference and basically took off the sides of my mom's car, the driver's side, and the passenger side of the car next to him.
Wow.
Yeah. So there was, you know, so my sister came out. She was a passenger. She was too young to drive at the time. And she came out, you know, she got out of the passenger side all hysterical and just couldn't, you know, it took a long time to even catch her breath because of what happened. Because that was definitely a close call. So angels were definitely with them that day as well.
You're not kidding. And I really tell you, you know, when people ask the difference between spirit guides and angels, what is the difference? You know, I mean, they basically say that angels are messengers from God. And that they are in service for God, you know, pretty much only. So they come down here, they protect us, they watch over us, stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, and spirit guides are many times, they're not always people that have had human experiences, but they're normally people that have had human experiences, and some haven't, but most of them are. They've had human experiences, they understand what's going on in this world, and they're going to come in, and they're going to come in at different stages in our lives. And they're going to assist us with the lessons that we're learning. And we are assigned major master spirit guides when we're born. So there is a big difference. And can I say that there's like different experiences with the spirit guides and angels? I'd say probably, yeah, could be. But then my thought is, who cares who is helping you on the other side? As long as you're getting help when you need it, right?
Yep, absolutely.
That's my thought. So, hey, what's your question today, Russ?
Well, Well, actually, I was sort of torn. I did start a little 32-hour week job here, so I was hoping, you know, if you think that would go well or lead to something else, or.
All right, so you're looking at the current job that you just started?
Yeah, it was just this week.
Okay, beautiful. All right, so let's look at that. All right. All right, I'm going to use for the cards for you this time, okay?
Sounds good.
And just looking at how this looks for you.
And while you're doing that up, I got another little story. I'll send an email to you because I don't want to take up too much of your time tonight. So, but I was kind
of. No, that's
kinda
okay. We've got the time. Go ahead. What did you want to share with us tonight?
My uncle, my dad's brother, I didn't know it, but I had a strange dream about him one night. About 6 weeks ago, where he came out and announced he was transgender. And those
okay.
that I know that day, he had gone in for open heart surgery.
Okay.
And so he had been sick for a while. He didn't tell anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, and what was kind of strange about me, I was feeling it. I was sort of having like a little minor panic attacks at the time too.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was thinking I was sensing something there a little bit. And,
no kidding.
He was out a couple times. I let him out too early. He went back in for pneumonia too as well. So he's sort of been struggling with that a little bit as well. I've been trying to send him a little prayers and stuff too for that.
You bet. So when he came through with the transgender message, how did that occur for you? Does it make sense for you or?
Yeah, I think it probably does is that maybe that you're starting to view life a little bit differently now.
Wow, good for you. Good for
you.
Yeah,
that's probably what I'm looking at too. Is maybe he's trying to get in touch with another part of his side he hadn't seen before. Maybe trying to get in touch with his feminine side a little bit more than what he had in the past because he's been very shy, very private, basically his whole life.
Wow.
So maybe he's trying to get in touch with something else.
That'll be interesting, Russ, to see what happens. Now he's home healing right now, right?
Right, yeah.
Okay. It's really interesting. This is just bringing this to mind to me. I had a lady that said to me her husband was in surgery, and I knew this lady very well. She's just a wonderful woman. And she said her husband had gone to the hospital, and when she went to see him, she goes, it was crazy. She said he wasn't saying that he was himself. He was identifying himself as a different person. And she goes, no, you're so-and-so. You're my husband. He goes, no, I'm not. I don't even know who you are, lady. And that was so upsetting to her that the nurses actually said, no, that happens sometimes. Well, you have to know me by now, Russ. And my thought is always it was probably a spirit that was in the hospital that attached onto him for a little while. And then, you know, left him, and then he became himself again. And, of course, becoming himself again, he went home as the spirit of her husband, not the exit guy. I would have to question, though. I haven't talked to her for quite a while. I wouldn't mind calling her and asking her, has your husband been completely the same since the hospital experience, or does he seem to change sometimes? I would be curious to ask her that question.
Yeah, it'd be good to do a little research on that kind of stuff.
Yeah, because that would just mean that the extra spirit did not leave, you know, did not leave the body completely. Okay, so the question was, how does this new job look, right?
Right.
Okay, all right, so this is a new job. This is for Russ. All right, Russ, why don't you tell me when to stop shuffling these cards?
Okay, sounds good.
All right, I'm going to cut it into three, so I want you to pick one, two, or three. What'd you hear?
Oh, three.
All right. There you go. Well, it's definitely about money. It says there's a little bit of a stalemate there. It says you can't see everything that's going on, but it certainly shows some happiness here in the near future, so that's wonderful.
Yeah, that's good too, because I was hoping, you know, just because I had a little bit of unemployment left, but this one's, like I said, it's only like 32 hours a week. What are the drawbacks? It's a 7-hour shift from 4 p.m. to 11. No lunch break in there, but 2 15-minute breaks, and so maybe it's not the ideal conditions, but at least it's money coming in. And until I can try and get, you know, like this business I mentioned last time I mentioned that when I get started. So.
Well, this looks like you're going to be pretty happy here, and I mean, you might be upset if there's some other people that don't work as hard as you do, but there's a man that you're supposed to be really coming to like over there, and then respecting him also.
Yeah, that'd be good. So maybe it'll be a good connection then, to where it can really do something else then.
Yeah, so this actually looks pretty good right now.
That sounds good too, because I'm in my typical mind, I sort of sometimes get that little bit of doubt in there, and I was sort of doubting the lunch thing, and then not quite making as much money as I would like, even at the bank that I was at there for a while. So, it was interesting. It'll be interesting. Hopefully, it works out well. I shouldn't say hopefully. I should say it will work out well.
It will work out well. That's right. Claim
yeah.
it. And, you know, you want to visualize this, you know, it's one of the techniques that they do when you are doing the book, The Secret exercises.
Sounds
okay?
Good. Thanks, Rhonda.
All right, Rhonda. Hey, great talking to you again.
Sure, thanks.
Bye. All right, take care. Bye-bye. All right. So that was Russ from Cleveland. Russ always gives us a wonderful call in to see how things are going. And just loving the stories that Russ has there, too. All right, well, let's see who we have next online. Hello, caller. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Hi, yes, who is this?
Lynn.
Hey, Lynn, how are you?
I'm fine.
Good, good.
How are you?
So what question? I'm very good. Are you calling from Illinois?
Yes, I am.
All right, beautiful.
Just right outside of Chicago.
Right outside Chicago?
Yeah.
So what do you have on your mind? Have you had any of those spiritual experiences or any experiences with the angels yourself, Lynn?
You know, when my mother passed, and this is, it's kind of hard to explain, but when she passed, I was very close to my mother, and I had a dream, but it really wasn't, it didn't feel like a dream, and it was sort of a gray area, but I felt her completely,
yeah.
And I just mourned. It was just, I can't believe the sorrow that I felt being in this space, and it was like the whole, it felt like it just went on and on and on, but I knew she was there and we were together.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing is it was gray, and then to the left of me there was in color a stairway, and my husband was coming up the stairway.
Mm-hmm.
And then that left right away, and I was back with her. And
was your husband dead?
Up. No, he's ill, but at that point, no, he's still alive, but he's ill. So
okay.
Yeah, and that was in color, and I was in. It was just, it felt gray to me. It looked gray to me. But
yeah.
I think because I had such a time with her death that she was allowing me to grieve.
Yeah.
And when I woke up the next morning, I couldn't believe how just a sorrow that I felt.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was just, It to me, it was real. I felt I was really there with her.
Well, do you mind if I tell you that, you know, in my training and what I know about the spiritual world is that when we go to sleep, I was just doing some channeling before doing the radio show tonight. I had a channeling session for a gentleman that had passed away. And the woman said the same thing that you've experienced, and I've experienced it as well. But what happens is when we're in the sleep state, our physical body rests, so our spirit can do what it needs to do. And for you and for this other woman and for myself and many of other millions of people on the earth, you know, when you think you're having a dream about somebody that crossed over and it feels so real, you're not in the state of dreaming where you're interpreting all these symbols and the experiences you're having, but rather, you know, because in a regular dream you have these different experiences or symbols and they mean something and you have to interpret them. But when you're literally in the dream state and you're visiting with the dead, that's normally exactly what's happening, is that your spirit has astral projected, left the body, and gone to the astral planes where your recently deceased loved ones are. And even if they're not recently deceased, where the dead people are, they come to visit us, we sit and chat, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's time for us to wake up in this human body. So we have to zoom back in, and many times we'll wake up abruptly, or we'll just wake up going like, wow, that seems so real. And that's because it really was real.
Right, and it
we're
just
spirits
happened.
First and foremost. We're spirits first and foremost, right, having a human experience, not a human being having a spiritual experience. So that's what people should remember.
And I think that happens to me, you know, a lot. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, it was a dream within a dream. And I'm dreaming.
Oh,
and
I've had that before.
And cool. there was this woman standing at my bed, you know, but and she startled me because I didn't expect it. So I'm turning to my husband and I'm shaking him to wake him up, and he's not waking up.
Mm-hmm.
And I just remember this woman just standing there staring at me. Just, I wasn't afraid of her. It was just that it startled me. And, you know, she was just, and I could just see her. And she was just sort of like, just had a smile.
Nice.
But it was a dream within a dream because I was trying to wake my husband up. And then I finally heard, I must have been talking because he finally started to shake me and say, wake up, wake up.
Wow.
And then I woke up.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Did you know who the woman was? Did you recognize her?
No, but I do feel it's somebody on my mother's side.
Okay.
On my mother's side.
Like a grandma.
Yeah. Like
okay.
Which I did not know. I did not know my grandparents.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it does feel like somebody that you knew that was very peaceful coming over and kind of smiling at you.
Right.
I want to speak to something else that you were saying a little bit ago, Lynn. When you were saying that you had this dream and it was very gray, and then you saw the stairway and it was in color, I've had experiences also that when I recollect in between lifetimes, like when my spirit has left my body, before I get into another human body, I've had the experience of part of that experience looking very gray. Almost like, have you ever been driving down the highway and it suddenly gets very, very foggy and it's late at night and you're looking into this gray fog?
Yes, yes, yes.
That's, every time this has happened to me, it's like, that's what it's like when you're dead. That's what it's like when you leave the body. It's like you have to go through this gray, foggy area. Now, what's interesting about that is there is a movie out there called Astral City. And have you heard of Coast to Coast Radio with Art Bell?
Yes.
Well, now it's Coast to Coast Radio with George Nuri. And George Nuri also has a show. And there's a lot of different spiritual topics that they talk about. And this is nightly. I mean, they have so many amazing different guests and shows. Oh, it's wonderful. So people really need to check into Coast to Coast Radio. It's online night for most nights, but you can also get it. You can become a Coast Insider and get the podcasts and everything. It's wonderful.
Oh, good. Okay. Do that.
Oh, my God. It's just wonderful. And so the George Nuri, there's also a show called Gaiam. Now, George also has his own TV show. But there's a website called Gaiam, G-I-A-M, and it might be Gaia now, GaiaTV.com.
Uh-huh.
So you go to that and you can, you know, click on that, become a member there. There's this show, this movie called Astral City. And believe me, you're really going to want to go ahead and check out that movie because there was a gentleman that was a channeler and he started writing for the spirits and he'd write everything down that the spirits had said. And the movie kind of shows the progress of when the spirit leaves the body as to his interpretation from his spirit guides, what happens on the journey. And there is a place where people go, and it's very gray, a little kind of dark. Maybe it's, you know, you're walking through an area where there might be some lost souls or other people that are in the same place. You just left your human body. Now you're on this journey into the light. And sometimes, I don't know if that's the place where some people say that they reconcile things. I'm not quite sure. But and then all of a sudden, sometimes the spirit guides and angels will come for you and get you there, you know, get you from there. But I also believe that there's a lot of people that just when they cross over, when they leave their body, they are on the fast track into the light. So, and I feel many people go there.
Oh, I would, yeah, because it's something that I always had a hard time explaining, you know, unless somebody like you understands it, you know, you can't, I couldn't explain it, but yeah, it was real. I mean, it was real to me.
Oh, no, it was real. Please don't question yourself. One of the hardest parts is when people start opening up psychically, they feel they're crazy. If you guys have seen dogs, cats, animals reacting to the invisible world, you know, you're in your kitchen and suddenly the dog is bark. You know, or the cats
cats are always looking up at the ceiling and
yes
just following something, you know.
Exactly right. And I mean, so our spirit world is pervasive through this three-dimensional world that we have right now. And I believe other people said it's four-dimensional. But anyway, so the spirit world, everything that goes on in this physical world literally is going on beforehand in the spiritual world. And you've got a lot of dead people that are here interacting with us, spirit guides, angels, people in different realities. I mean, it's very interesting. I would say get on Coast to Coast Radio, listen to that.
Yeah,
the more you listen to that, the less you're going to feel like there's anything wrong with you. And you'll get a much greater understanding about the spiritual planes and what goes on the other side. And again, I want to tell people, remember when you're a baby, when you're a little person, you see these babies laughing into the thin air and, you know, it almost looks like they're talking to somebody. I completely believe that they are.
They are, yep. I do too.
Yep. And then once people get grounded in your human body, they normally say it takes till about 5 years old. And then once you start going to school, I mean, because how many parents have said, oh, my child has an invisible playmate? Or a pretend. Oh, there's nothing to pretend about them. You know.
Right, right.
They're there. Your child
is
here. Right? Yep. And then once they start going to school, once we start going to school, we have to start memorizing things and we get busy in this lifetime. And they say that's when the little children that are used to being on both sides of the fence, you know, they're used to their spiritual self, seeing their other spiritual friends that aren't incarnate yet. And but once they start with school, then many times they'll, you know, start losing their connection with the spirit world.
You know, and it's funny, too, because when I was a very young child, I had a lot of anxiety and when I was sent to school and I got to the playground, because I feel things other people feel, I was so frightened that I jumped out of my body and it would happen. It happened to me a few times. And I never knew until I was an adult what that was. But But that was so frightening to me that I jumped right back in.
Beautiful. Well, the thing to remember,
yeah,
too, is that we are all connected by the silver cord. Our spirit is connected by a silver cord to the human body. So even when we lay down and go to sleep at night, if people have had flying dreams, if they've had dreams that they're out in the ocean, you know, up in the Andes, up in the pyramids, you know, and then you wake up going like, wow, that felt so real. Just like when you're doing spirit, you know, communication, it
right.
is real. You left your body, and your body, your spirit knows exactly where to come back because it's connected by a silver cord. So you're not going to get lost if you're out there astral projecting.
Okay.
Yeah, and visiting. So there's this place called the Monroe Institute. It's out in Faber, Virginia. And Robert Monroe had many experiences himself, and where he finally decided he wants to go out and teach other people about, you know, he actually one day fell out of bed. He thought he fell out of bed. He felt this bump. And as he's looking up, like he's looking up, and he sees a waterfall next to himself. He's looking up, and he's seeing his wife in bed with another man. And so from curiosity,
yeah,
he kind of drifted over there, looked at the man's face, and it was himself. Yes.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
That's cool. It is.
And he used to work in radio and TV.
Cool.
So he literally ended up leaving his body, drifting, and then seeing himself and going like, oh, my word. This is strange. But then he also developed a technique called the hemisync process. And in this process, he learned how to alter the frequencies of the brain where he could astral project. And he tried this. Every person he met, he said, you want to come and check my headphones? You want to come in and try this out? And so he devoted 40 years of his life into creating new technology and to helping people with their meditative states. And learning how to astral project. And I will tell you, it's amazing, Lynn. It's amazing. If anyone can go there, the Monroe Institute, Robert Monroe, hemisync is the process, hemisynchronization of both sides of your brain. The different suggestions, I've done it numerous times. It's wonderful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Can I ask you just one quick thing? I'm going on an interview tomorrow, and does that look okay for me? I actually feel okay about it.
I would put your very best foot forward anyway, because I want to say whether you get it or not, that is going to leave you in a very good place if you put your very best foot forward. Do you understand me? Okay, because it just seems like for some reason tomorrow it feels like you're creating very good energy. Tell me when to stop, Lynn.
Stop.
Okay. Cut this deck into three piles. Pick one, two, or three.
Three.
Yeah, that's what I heard, too. And I want to say how much your mom loves you. It says, watch out for whom you're trusting. It's crossed by strength. You know you're completely powerless over this, right?
Of what happened?
Yep.
Yes.
What I'd say is I would say please ask God to put you in the right job.
Okay.
Okay. And
yes, that's the way I kind of feel about it.
Yeah.
You know, where I'm supposed to be, that's where I'll land.
Yeah, and I think you're supposed to have travel around the job too. Like,
oh,
it's not
okay.
going to be right in your backyard. I think there's going to be a little more travel to your...
Okay.
Yeah, so it'll be a
well,
little more
I really,
of that.
I appreciate the conversation, and I'm glad this I can go back and listen to this, because I actually absolutely want to check all this out.
Oh, my God, my pleasure. My complete pleasure.
Thank you so much.
There's a lot of things that I've learned. I'll just add a little bit more about the astral projection. You know, when I was younger, I didn't really realize what was going on for me. And there was one time where I was doing a healing on my boyfriend, and he was very psychic, and he had stomach problems. So I had my hands over his stomach, And all of a sudden, I was out at the Grand Canyon. Now, mind you, I didn't have a lot of experiences, and I hadn't been to the Monroe Institute. I mean, that came later in life. And I was just in awe and amazement. I'm going like, oh, my God, this is so beautiful. Look, look. And I was in such a great, amazing place. And all of a sudden, and I don't know how long I was there, but he knew I was gone. And he just started saying, hey, where did you go? And that threw me back in my body. And I was like, oh, my God, it was amazing. I wish you could have seen it. I said I ended up going to the Grand Canyon. Now, later
wow,
in life, I got to go
so
to the Grand
cool.
Canyon. Well, this is some of these amazing experiences that people could have, right?
Right.
And then there was another thing. Now, talk about the dream state. So this is, you know, this is another thing about the dreams. This is how real this stuff is. So that's what I want you to know. And so what happened was this was astral projection. I had this amazing dream, and I should say an experience in this dream state. I was flying through the air, and all of a sudden my sister Carol was flying with me. And, and we're just looking at each other, kind of smiling. But it's like our bodies weren't completely present, but our faces were there, our consciousnesses were there, and we were just flying through the air. And suddenly she's sitting here showing me her new house. Well, in the waking state, I didn't know my sister was moving. We didn't talk to each other like every day. We probably talked to each other every week or every couple of weeks or something. And so she showed me her new house. She showed me where she was moving. So I remember not calling her the next day. But I called her like in a day or two, and I said, hey, Carol, I said, do you remember dreaming of me the other night? And she said, no. And I said, dang it. I said, by chance, are you moving? And she goes, yes, I am. I said, are you moving to the Bridgeport area in Chicago? She goes, yes, I am. I said, are you moving to a two-story green house? And she goes, how the heck do you know that? And I started rambling off every single thing that she showed me about this new house she's getting. I was off by maybe two or three items. And there was like 12 or 13 on the list because I wrote it down. And she was like, holy mackerel. That's another form of not only was she and I together, we were both out of our bodies, astral projecting. She brought me to the location that she was going to move, and she wanted to share that with me, even though we weren't talking, you know, like weekly or, you know, every day. We still got together spiritually. She showed me this stuff. So I really want to tell you guys, don't question yourself if you think that this is, you're not crazy, you are visiting with your dead relatives, or you're visiting with your living relatives. I mean, gee whiz, my sister was still alive, Lynn.
Right, and she didn't know? She had no
awareness? She did not remember.
Awareness.
Wow. She didn't have the awareness, but I did. And we know it's factual because I saw it, I felt it, and I had all of the facts.
Right.
And the facts were completely accurate. When they teach you, like say if you go to the Monroe Institute and you want to learn astral projection, you can learn that. What is the one that the military had? It's leaving my consciousness right now. Anyway, there's another
remote
program.
Viewing?
That's it. Thank you. To me, remote viewing is a lot like astral projecting, but anybody can do it. Okay?
That fascinates me.
Yes.
Anybody can do that.
And there's a protocol in which you follow because the Army did it, the military did it a lot. There's a book out there called Psychic Discoveries Behind the Iron Curtain.
Oh, good one.
Yes. Grab that book. And then also see what you can learn about here. Skip Atwater was at the Monroe Institute. I'm not sure if he still is, but I believe he was part of the U.S. governmental program that was doing the remote viewing. And when they closed that down, wink, wink, you know, they said they closed it down. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I know.
One, but,
I know.
Right? So anyway, he then went to the Monroe Institute, and they teach remote viewing over there. So it's a specific protocol. So you don't have to be psychic. You don't have to be anything. to learn remote viewing. But when you,
really?
They have you doing certain tests and stuff like that, and when you come back with all of the facts, how can you say you made that up? You can't.
Wow, I didn't know anybody could do remote viewing.
Oh, just anybody can. Housewives, everybody. Yep. Yes, ma'am. So check
okay,
it out,
I'll try it.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you so much. This has been really informative and fun.
I'm glad you joined the show. And again, if you ever want a more in-depth reading, make sure you give me a call. It's 219-940-9292. Check me out on coffeepsychic.com. You can even like my website.
Thank you. I will. Thank you for your time.
You're welcome. You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Lynn. Bye-bye. Hey, you guys, I also do psychic house parties all the time. I do seances. Oh, my God. I have people that have amazing house parties, and we have such a good time. A lot of great feedback. All right, well, let's see who is next online. Hello, caller.
Hi, thank you. My name is Wendy from Sacramento.
Hi, Wendy. How are you?
Well, I've updated my resume, and I've applied at several good places. I'm hoping that Kaiser Permanente for their call center or TRICARE will hire me for their call center and that I'll have longevity for at least 4 years. Do you see that?
All right, well, let's take a peek. This is going to be now you said Kaiser?
Yes, it's a Northern California hospital chain, and I'd be working on the phone, talking to patients and doctors and setting appointments. TRICARE would be similar, more like explaining benefits, though.
I like TRICARE. I actually kind of like them both. I like them both.
Uh-huh.
I like TRICARE for some reason, though. I'm getting a... Are you going tomorrow for TRICARE?
Well, it's funny you ask, because I talked to a recruiter over a week ago, and we had a great rapport, and she set an appointment for me to have an interview this past Monday. And then last Friday, she emailed me, and she said the employer has made their last offer, but they may be having another training in June. So I don't know if that will materialize or not, but she kind of dropped the ball on me, really.
I would go ahead. Now, this is just me. I would go ahead and be relentless about, I know in the business field there might be some things where you're going like, well, maybe I shouldn't be, calling up too much or whatever. But I don't know that I'd play that card right now. I would go ahead and say, hey, this is just a little reminder. I'm still really interested in that job. How is it looking? How's it looking?
Okay.
How's it looking? And, they say the squeaky wheel, gets oiled first, really. So I would look at that. And then I would still try for the hospital, Wendy, because both of them don't feel bad at all. I kind of like the way they both feel, actually.
Well, actually, with Kaiser, in October, a recruiter contacted me 5 times. He was very impressed with my tenure at a previous employer, 15 years. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe I might have been hired, but then I had a medical emergency with my ring finger in my right hand. 3 doctors said amputation, and I said no. And thank God, because they determined that there was no cancer, and they reconstructed my ring finger on my right hand. And yes, I am right-handed. And
Amen.
Yes. So now I'm getting back my range of motion, and my keyboarding skills. And I've contacted, and that job circled back, so I reapplied again last month. And
yes,
I've contacted the recruiter, but he's not responded to me. So I would be happy.
Are you allowed to go
straight
to a company or no?
No, not with Kaiser. They have their very formal roadmap of where they do things, and
okay.
it's all online until you're told, okay, let's schedule an in-person interview.
Okay. All right. Well, that's probably why I like the other one better. But I would still move forward. See if you can do it on both of them. And there might be a third one coming in. But I have to ask you a personal question now.
Mm-hmm.
With your ring finger, was that your marriage finger?
No, the ring finger on my right hand.
Okay. So, all right, good. So it's your right hand. Okay. So,
yes.
Curiously, did you have any issues around commitments at all?
Absolutely not. I'm really good about commitment, but
okay.
I was married twice, and I was treated like dirt.
Well, then, so I'm going to bring this up to you then. Do you mind?
No.
Okay, so when you said the ring finger, right away, every part of the body, and I didn't get into it tonight because I wanted to pick angels and the experiences we have with the angels and stuff, but there's a wonderful book out here called You Can Heal Your Life by Louise Hay. And I never mind sharing some of my personal experiences because I think it's rich for all of us to have these experiences and look at them and go like, oh, so that's what happened. Or, you know, and sometimes it's the energy, the emotional energy. If we don't get to our emotional energy, like if our emotions are saying, well, something's wrong here, I'm not balanced or whatever, then it can manifest into our physical body. And that starts getting locked in. And that's where we get the word dis-ease or ill at ease, you know, that sort of thing. And for me, I'll just share with you, a long time ago when my marriage went sour, this is a God's honest truth. I don't like wearing silver. I only wear gold. And,
mm-hmm.
well, let me say part of that's changed recently, but because I'm going like, wow, you just told a lie. There, I've got a mm-hmm. silver ring on my other finger. So it's kind of funny I had to clear that up. Anyway, so
uh-huh.
on my marriage finger, my gold ring, swear to God, started turning my finger green.
Oh.
Which never, ever happened before. Gold doesn't
uh-huh.
turn. Gold doesn't change on my body, ever.
Uh-huh.
But that did. And that was when my marriage was going through a very, very, very bad time before we broke up. So the psychology of the ring finger through commitment, that's why I asked you. And then, you know,
well,
you had shared that you had some difficulties, like you were treated poorly in relationships. So I don't know if your other finger kind of came up and said, okay, I'm having a hard time with commitment, even though it was the wrong hand.
Mm-hmm. I have no problem with commitment whatsoever. And
yeah.
I think I had poor self-esteem. That was
sure.
what I learned from all this. And
sure.
I was steadily employed with a major vision insurance company for 15 years. I was considered
wow.
world class. And then I got a new supervisor, and my world turned upside down. And they got rid of me, and it's been a rocky road to have to start over. And so I worked at a few temp agencies, and that was awful because I thought I was doing fabulous, but then they mm-hmm. then they said goodbye. And and then I don't want to talk a lot about it, but there was a tragic death on March 2nd of this year, and then. Thank you. I'm shocked that I'm still coherent and functional.
Amen.
And I value myself. My callers, most of them would say that they felt comforted just by talking with me. And I was so thorough. And whoever would hire me would be so fortunate because once I get through the training and the learning, then I'm very independent and very reliable. So if you were a magic genie and you said you could, I would choose Kaiser.
I was going to say, hang in there and just be very firm about everything. Just keep being, you know, I really need this job. See yourself getting this job, just like, you know, I was telling Russ with the book, The Secret. I do have to go. I've got one more caller that I've got to get to before we close. But I want to say thanks for calling. But before I say this, I saw a dead little boy standing next to you. I don't know if that means anything to you right now, but just know that he's a wonderful little boy. Okay?
Oh, really? A little boy?
Yes. Beautiful little boy. I don't know why he's there. I mean, I would need a lot more time to explore that. But, Wendy, thanks for calling in, okay?
Thank you.
You bet. God bless. Hey, hey, you guys, you know what? It's almost time to close. I'm going to take another call here. I want to say thanks for joining. This is Jory and the Coffee Psychic, your psychic connection here at Blog Talk Radio. Again, if you want a more in-depth call reading, you can reach me at area code 219-940-9292. Check me out on coffeepsychic.com. I've got my Mother's Day specials going on. Hey, have a psychic house party. It is so much fun. All right, we'll talk to you guys later. God bless. And I'll see you here next week at Your Psychic Connection. All right, good night, you guys. Hello, caller?
Yes, hi.
Hi, who is this?
Taryn.
Taryn, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Great. Hey, honey, what do you have on your mind?
I just have a question about our moving status.
Okay.
We had a little hang-up with our putting our house, you know, on the market and getting approved for a loan. So I just wanted to know what you've seen there.
Okay. So you want to see how it looks?
Yes. If you are here, or do you actually see us going through?
Well, knock on wood. God willing, the creek don't rise. I know there's an issue with money because the money upside down card just came up.
Yeah.
It still feels like it's going to go through somehow. I mean, do you guys have to, like, borrow more money or something?
No, it was nothing to do with our house. It had something to do with our credit, and there was a little bit of hang up with getting the credit score to where we needed it to be. So
okay. Well,
yeah.
I don't know. It feels to me like it's going to go through. I will be shocked, stunned, and amazed if that does not go through, Taryn, seriously.
Nope. You see it going through this year?
Well, it feels like it's going through. Yes, I believe it's going through this year. And,
okay.
I mean, sometimes these guys do magic. I mean, they really – that's why they say if you're moving, don't buy a new car. Don't get more credit, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually had it in the past where I moved, and the guy told me, he says, you sell that car that you have and go get a cheaper car. I'm like, seriously? He goes, yeah, you have to do it. He goes, that's going to be your best strategy. Of course I listened to this man. He knows what he's doing.
Right.
Of course I did that. I'm not
going
to be silly, right?
Mm-hmm.
So listen to these guys, Taryn, and see what they're telling you to do.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Thank you very much.
And call me. Call me. Let me know what happens.
I will.
All right, honey.
Thanks.
All right. Take
bye.
Care. Okay, bye. All right. I see we've got one more caller here. Let's see who we have online. Caller, can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi, who is this?
Hi, this is
And your name?
It's Sasha.
Sasha, what state are you calling from?
Jacksonville, Florida.
All right. All right, well, I have time for one quick question. What question do you have, honey?
I'm just calling. I would like to – my mom is getting moved here to Jacksonville, and I just wanted to know if it's going to be a good move for her.
All right, so you're asking, is the move going to be good for her? Can you tell me your mom's first name and last name?
It's Peggy Field.
Peggy Field. Okay, where's she coming in from?
Arizona.
When I feel your mom coming down there, honey, I really get like she really wants to be with you and the family. And that's really going to be very happy for her to get down there.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
I mean, you know, I just think she should watch her health. And, you know, there are a lot of things that are out of our control. But I do get your mom really wants to be there. She wants to be with you and the kids. And I think she's going to be so excited about being with you. That's what it looks like to me.
Okay.
And
I just wanted to know if
it, friend.
I just wanted to know if it was going to be good for her, I guess job-wise, because she's a little bit worried about how she's going to do here and everything.
I know. The hard part is she'll probably have to go through everything else that we all go through, you know.
Yeah.
And again, I don't have the time to go into a deeper reading, but if you really do want a more in-depth reading, give me a call, okay? And I can charge for my reading, of course. And
yes.
I'll just give you the number. It's 219-940-9292, okay?
All right. Thank you.
All right, honey. You have a great day. And good luck with your mom's move, all right, honey?
Thank you.
You betcha. All right.
Bye.
All right, bye now. All right. Well, good night, everybody. If you guys are still listening out in Radio Land, I hope you guys have a wonderful, wonderful week. And I look forward to talking to you guys again right here at Your Psychic Connection with Blog Talk Radio. It's Jorianne, and good night, everyone. Bye-bye.